This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, what are the dangers of toxins to your cat? And make 2021 a healthy year for your pets. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I'm here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, with our pet tip of the week. And Monica, there's something that I think that a lot of us have in our homes that we don't even think twice about because it sort of improves the mood, improves the air. But for some of our feline friends, if you're using like liquid potpourri or essential oils, it can be dangerous to them. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So they say, you know, oil and water do not mix. And when it comes to essential oils in our animals, that really is the case. Owners definitely have to be really cautious about using essential oil products or products containing essential oils and liquid potpourri with pets in their homes. Specifically, our feline friends have the majority of the issues with our liquid potpourri and our essential oils. Dogs can have issues, especially for people who try to, you know, use essential oils directly on the skin because it can be absorbed. But our cats have a lot more severity when it comes to liquid potpourri and essential oil toxicities. For example, when our essential oils are put directly onto the skin, cats in particular they lack the essential enzyme in the liver that makes it easy to metabolize those kind of things. So they can't eliminate the essential oils and metabolize it like dogs can. So then you get a lot larger toxicity issues, especially in our cats, because they don't lack the same enzymes in their liver that the dogs do. Another issue when it comes to essential oils is that you can get, in particular, our lang lang, our sweet birch, wintergreen, peppermint oil, cinnamon oil, clove oil, eucalyptus, tea tree oil even. And a lot of people, you know, use tea tree for bugs and parasite control. But some of these can cause severe reactions in our animals. And some of the reactions are more passive when they're put in a diffuser. But you're still getting respiratory issues and respiratory irritations when it comes to using those oils in diffusers, which is the safest, you know, way to use them with our pets. You get more toxic issues when it comes to actually having them ingest the oils. So if you have like a warming dish that's not a diffuser that actually has the oil sitting in the top, like our warming trays, if they're ingested, you can get, you know, drooling, vomiting, tremors, ataxia, which is like wobbliness, as well as respiratory issues, and even stuff that's more severe, paralysis, seizures, severe skin irritation, and then liver and kidney failures. So definitely being extremely cautious with what you have around and the distance within, you know, your pets being able to, you know, get, you know, close to it. Another thing is just local abrasion too. So if your cat, you know, sticks their paw in a simmer pot or even tries to lick a couple, you know, licks out of the simmer pot, where the oils are, you can get, you know, on the most less severe way of getting a reaction, you can still cause huge issues like chemical burns in the mouth, difficulty in breathing as it dries, tremors. And then also toxicity, you know, like in the webbing of the feet, if they stick their pads in there. So any of those issues, you know, definitely seek out veterinary care. If your pet licks it, you know, trying to wash out their mouth as quickly as possible, washing out their pads, getting really good inside the webbing between the feet, and definitely, you know, seeking out veterinary care. Because essential oils, albeit we love them, they have a lot of great properties for people. It's definitely something that you need to be cautious of around your pet.
I had some that they actually are like night lights that you could put in your, you know, your plugs. And some of them are at a level that a cat could get into. And they have the essential oil in the night light. And it's sort of, it could have that toxicity effect, and you don't even think about it. They jump up on the counter, they like go, oh wow, this smells good. And so it could be something really simple as just them even coming in contact with it, like in a way that you're like going, okay, well, what's the matter? Why is she so nauseous? Or why are these, you know, why are these things going on? So I think this will bring a lot to light as to some of the simple things that we have in our home that we look upon as like calming and nurturing could be toxic to our pets.
Absolutely. And, you know, curiosity in our pets definitely, you know, can get them into some trouble.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Those curious cats, you know, they're going to dip their paw in anything liquid or give it a little lick to see how it tastes, you know. You know, curiosity is definitely something that you have to be cautious of.
I know. If something does happen or if people do notice things, is there anything they could do at home, or is there something you should just call your vet right away?
Definitely call your vet right away. But like I mentioned, you know, if they, you know, stick their paw into something, you know, that could be easily, you know, remedied just, you know, rinsing it out with, you know, lukewarm water, trying to get everything off to, you know, kind of stop the irritation, but making sure that you get like in the webbing of the feet, things of that nature, because, you know, as most cats do, you know, they stick their foot in something and then where does that foot go immediately after? Usually the mouth. Usually they're licking it right off. So, you know, if you catch it really quickly and you can get it before it's, you know what I mean, taking it internally, that helps a lot, you know, rinsing it off and getting in between the padding and the webbing really, really well. And then also, you know, in the mouth, just being really cautious, you know, about maybe getting, you know, rinsing it with warm water, just trying to get anything out you can.
I think that this is a great tip so that it keeps us aware of what we might do and might not do when it comes to some of these oils with our pet. I think that that's really helpful, really great information. And as always, I thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. We'll be back in just a minute. Hello, everyone. Susan Maria Miss Olive here to announce the release of the second book in the Doggy Diva Diary series, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Friends, a story about Miss Olive's encounters with bullying at a dog park and how she learns a life lesson. Please check out the original award-winning book, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home, which is a story about adoption and rescue. Both books are available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and please visit thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, getting your dogs off to a healthy start for the new year. Stay with us.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There's no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Radio.com, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As we leave 2020 and enter 2021, as a pet parent, I want my fur kids to live their healthiest and happiest year ever. And with us today to share helpful advice for a healthy start in 2021 for our pups is Kim Gablin, the Senior Marketing Director at Bill Jack Foods. Welcome back, Kim. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I think we all want to put 2020 in our rearview mirror.
Yes.
And we all want to be like healthy and happy. And we all want our little kit for our kids to be healthy and happy. Can you share a few tips with us that we could all keep in mind as pet parents to look to have a healthy start to this year?
You know, absolutely. I know now's a great time for all of us to be thinking about how we can make this year better, especially in 2021. And I always start with, kind of the baseline, right? How is your dog doing now? You know, and the things to kind of look at, you know, I always start with weight. You know, I know we talk about it all the time, about how important proper weight is to the health of your dog, that it's really important to keep them at that healthy weight on a regular basis. And so I always start there, right? So I think it's really important to recognize, you know, is your dog overweight? Because nearly 53% of dogs in the U.S. are overweight. And so that's not a good thing. So it's important to kind of know, is your dog overweight? So have your dog stand up. You know, from the side, look at their chest, you know, and to their stomach and to their back legs. And, you know, make sure that you're seeing that chest kind of curve out, you know, down toward the ground and then back up toward their tummy as it tightens back up. You know, if you're not seeing that curve, right, if you're not seeing their ribs be different from their stomach, then it's probably time for you to be thinking about what to do to help them be healthier, a healthier weight, right? Or, you know, if you can feel their ribs really easily, then that probably means that they're at a good weight. But if you have a hard time finding them, they're kind of tucked under a layer of fat, then that can be a little bit more of a note that, you know, you need to be paying a little bit more attention. So I think, you know, a great place to start if your dog is overweight is to think about measuring and the food that you're feeding, right? So make sure that you look at the instructions on the bag of food that you get and, you know, what are they recommending for your dog's weight? And so make sure that you're measuring that out, even if you're splitting up over two meals over the day, or, you know, maybe you like to leave the food out all day and your dog likes to be a nibbler, you still want to measure it, right? You don't want to leave it to their, to them to decide how much food that they should eat every day. I know that if someone left the chips out for me, that would not be a good thing, right? So you want to leave out the appropriate amount for your dogs and make sure that you're being responsible about that. And, you know, maybe you need to look for a different kind of food as well. Maybe you need to look for something that is a reduced fat food that might help you manage that weight as you're making that change. And you know, it's also a good time to look at, you know, how much exercise exercise are they getting? You know, because, you know, getting out and moving can really make a big difference with your pet and their health, you know, overall health.
With pets, we have different sizes, different shapes, and what is, and especially as we put on the pandemic pounds, they've put on some pandemic pounds. So how can you determine what's the right amount of exercise for your pets?
Yeah, you know, I think it really varies, you know, depending on your dog, right? So some breeds, you know, because really it's very breed generated, right? Depending on the age of your dog, the breed size of your dog, and the overall health of your dog is how to kind of think about starting up an exercise program. And so, you know, some dogs like Border Collies, for example, or maybe Labradors, labs also need have a lot of energy. They need a lot of kind of exercise and movement to be able to be healthy. And it's not just large dogs, right? Some smaller dogs, like think about Jack Russell Terriers or Corgis. Those are also smaller dogs, right? That are like, I call them dogs with a job. You know, normally they're dogs that have, you know, they've been ratters or they've been, you know, herders, or so they have this extra energy to make sure that they have to use up. So those types of dogs usually need a little bit more energy. Like, let's talk about maybe 30 to 60 minutes, you know, most days of the week, you know, almost daily, right? That's a lot of time. Or, you know, on the other side of the things, you might have a Boston Terrier or maybe a French Bulldog or a Chihuahua or, you know, even a Basset Hound, right? Those dogs are not going to be on the high energy spectrum. So, you know, it really just depends on your dog. And I think, you know, and it's really important to kind of get them out and exercising, right? Because if you think about it, getting out and exercising helps their heart get pumping. It tones their muscles. You know, it helps support a healthy metabolism, right? It kind of revs everything up because they're burning calories. And it also engages their mind, right? Because you get them out and they're looking around and they're smelling things. So I think it's kind of, you know, we think about exercise just being for our muscles, you know, but it's really for so much more than just our muscles, you know. So, and you know, smaller dogs, then, you know, they might only need about 20 to 30 minutes, right, of this kind of exercise to get their heart pumping and going. So, there's really a big variance. I mean, how do you think about exercising the girls?
Well, my girls are very low maintenance. Coco does, I do get her out more often than Olive and Franny because they're just like, they're happy to just do just a little, the minimum. But Coco likes to sniff. She's part Chihuahua. She feels like she has a job to protect, and she does a lot of sniffing, and she loves to walk. She keeps her eye on us as we're walking, keeps her eye on the ground and sniffs it. But that's like her... That's like her GM. Now, you talked about some dogs that have jobs and like Border Collies and I think of Corgis. My sister has Corgis and she lives in California, so the weather is nice. She actually to sign them up for herding classes so that they...
Wow.
Yeah, it's like that they help to herd, and only one of her three really excels in it because they like it, because the other ones don't like it. They like to go to the beach. They like to... Each one has their own thing they like to do, but... If you have something that your pet likes to do, like the Italian Greyhounds are just great companions. They just, their job is to sit on the couch and stare at you and make sure you're doing okay. But like my sister's dog are like, okay, what's next? What's next on the agenda? Let's go. And I think a lot of dogs, like you mentioned, they have jobs that they have. Their exercise is actually their job. So if people could even look in their areas to look at things that might interest, it's amazing what you could find. Like my sister was going, I wish that I just had somewhere because that's what she loves to do. I could just tell because she herds all the dogs in our yard. And she found something online and she loves it.
Yeah, well, and I think agility is like that, right? If you have a Border Collie. I mean, there are some dogs that are just love to do something, love to have something specific to do. And so I think that, you know, if you can find something like that and encourage that, like especially if you live in a cold weather place, I think that that's really important. You know, and I think it's also important. I mean, you know, and when we're talking about the time to spend, you know, exercising, like the 20 minutes to 60 minutes or whatever, you know, if you're not doing that now, you know, don't just run off and go out for an hour, right? Because I think your dog will probably be exhausted and you probably might be too if you're not both doing that together right now. So I think it's important to, you know, kind of think about, you know, make sure that there's no reason, you know, from a veterinarian standpoint, you know, or your dog's health, that you should not start something. You know, if you're not sure, it's always important to stop to talk to your veterinarian and hear what they have to say about suggestions. You know, and then I always say start small, right? If you can mix in a short walk, maybe it's around the block or just down the street. You know, it really doesn't have to be a long thing. It's really just important to start and to kind of, you know, build up that kind of exercise muscle, right? Of just having the time and energy to be able to go do that. And then you can, you know, after a week or two, then you can, you know, maybe go a little bit further or maybe go to the park and walk a little bit longer. So, I mean, there's lots of different ways to be able to do that, but certainly you don't want to start from zero to, you know, an hour and then, you know, kind of go from there. You want to be able to work it up and take it easy when you're doing it. And your dog should certainly be happily tired, right? But not absolutely exhausted when you get back. So that's like a one way for you to be able to kind of tell how they're doing and how that exercise is sitting with them.
Yeah, and one thing that you brought up that's really important is kind of like with us, it's the new year and we go, okay, I'm going to walk like 17 miles a day. I've got my tracker. I mean, realistically, mm-hmm. I don't even walk 1.7 miles a day. And everybody always says, check with your doctor. If you're going to start changing up your pet's exercise routine, mm-hmm. just like you said, check with your veterinarian because there may be some underlying condition like a little heart murmur or something that's going on that you may have to dial it back a little. So I think that it's great to have these because with our New Year's resolutions, it's always, I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to do more exercise, but we mm-hmm. check with our doctors and it's great that you brought that up to check with the vet. Now, I know we're talking about outdoor exercise, but with the weather being what it is during this time of year, you're up north, I'm down south, but it's still kind of cool down here. What are some indoor games mm-hmm. that we could do to kind of keep our pets' energy up?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's lots of different ways, right, to just be creative at home. You know, I know we were just talking about, like, you know, finding an agility place, right, to go out and, mm-hmm. and do something with someone who knows how to teach your dog how to do agility. But you know what? You could even do your own little indoor obstacle course, right? You could, you know, just get a few little things, like, you know, maybe you could use a box for your dog to jump mm-hmm. over, or, you know, I like to be able to, you can always get a pool noodle and one of those little, little surfboards, you know, a little short surfboard, and you can put a pool noodle cut in half underneath there and make a little lever, you know, like a little teeter totter for them to be able to go over. I mean, like, it doesn't have to be a whole lot of stuff. You're just trying to make something, you know, a little bit harder. I know my dog, I have a little Bichon, and he loves to zoom around the house, as little dogs sometimes do. I'm sure other people can relate to this.
I do. I have the zoomies going on in my house.
Yeah. And I mean, he'll run around the chairs by the kitchen. I mean, like, he makes his own obstacle course, right? So sometimes you can even just, you know, you could either make your own or you can just get them going, right? And then even just zooming around a little while until they get tired can really be a lot of fun and can burn some energy. So those are always fun things. You know, tug is always fun. You know, obviously you don't want it to get too mean, you know, so you want to let the dog win every once in a while, you know, and the dog will let you win every once in a while. And so it's good to kind of, that gets some energy out. You can always throw the rope once you get it. So then you get a little bit of fetch kind of incorporated in there. So you're getting a little bit more movement and chasing. So that can, you know, again, something that's just simple that you can do at home. That's really easy to do. And then, you know, a little bit of hide and seek, you know, you could maybe take a toy or a treat, and you can kind of hide a few treats around your living room or family room or kitchen, and then you could have them go on a little hunt, right, looking for them, and you can kind of clue them in, hey, you know, come over, hey, Blizzard, come over here, what's over here, you know, and then you can kind of get them around the house in some different ways, and you know, again, it's just being creative with how to use your indoor space.
And it actually is fun for us as pet parents as much as it is for kids. I think that it's fun to kind of think of those things to do and to watch them enjoy it. It's like a fun little excursion. And you're right, you could do it in your, you don't need to set up your weave poles in your house for your little agility thing, mm-hmm. but you could set up your own mm-hmm. little thing. I think that that's a great idea. Now, one of the other things that's important to, as we start off 2021 and we all want to be healthy, we also want our pets to be healthy. So we want them to have a healthy diet. And as we started off the conversation with, it's to consider the dog's weight. You may have to make adjustments to their food. You may have to, you know, feed them a special diet. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, there's just so many choices out there these days for folks to choose from. And so, you know, think about what does your dog need, right? What is their age? What is their breed size? You know, are they overweight? Are they normal weight? Do they have some sensitivities? And then, you know, you want to be able to look for a food that will be able to help you support that. So if they are overweight, looking at a reduced fat formula, like our reduced fat formula at Biljack has 30% less fat than our adult select formula does. So it's an easier way to maybe kind of shift their nutrition a little bit to be able to help them, you know, have a healthier weight. You know, it could be that maybe they are having some sensitivities, right? So you can also look at, you know, we have a sensitive solution formula that's great for dogs that might have stomach sensitivities or skin sensitivities. And so, you know, you may want to change up their diet. And, you know, as I said earlier, I think what's most important is look at the bag. You know, all feeding guidelines on any dog food bag are there to be able to help you have a starting point for what to feed your dog. But, you know, every dog is a little bit different, like just like us, right? Some of us are more couch potatoes. Some of us are out, you know, running 5 miles a day. And so, if, you know, you kind of have to make those adjustments based on the energy level and activity level that your dog has, right? So you're going to have to, you know, adjust the food down a little bit if you have a little bit more of a couch potato, and you're going to want to monitor their weight over time, right? So you might want to every week, you know, jump on the scale with them, you know, with you, and then take them on the scale with you and then subtract their weight, and then be able to have an idea of how are they doing on that, and then being able to kind of adjust that food just like they're, you know, just like that as you go along, you know, and make sure that they're maintaining that healthy weight.
No, and that's great information. Very, very helpful, because I think sometimes people go, okay, well, I've got this food now. They like this food. And with Biljack, you have all different kinds of food, so you can accommodate whether you're watching your dog's weight, they have a sensitive stomach, any of these things, mm-hmm. if it's a puppy, if it's a senior dog. So you guys have so much to accommodate whatever your pet's needs are. And it's right to look at the suggested feed if you want to have them lose weight a little bit, mm-hmm. you give them a little less, or if you want to have them gain weight a little more, or if you're just feeling that they're doing great, it's based on what the serving size is. Kind of like for humans, we always want to stick to what the serving size is, because if you have a little more than the serving size, probably you're going to have a little more. If you have a little less than the serving size, you may be losing weight. So it kind of works that way with our pets too. So that's great information. And you know what, Kim, and I talk about this all the time, a lot of an incentive that I have is by using treats. You know, my girls are very treat motivated. Yeah. And you guys have some great treats. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, we have treats. We have different sizes of treats. We have different flavors of treats. So, but what's really important is that we use chicken liver to make our treats. And so, you know, we have our original liver formula, which is a little bit bigger for larger dogs. We have Little Jack's training treats, which are so much fun. Mm-hmm. They're great for small dogs. Like you and I both have small dogs. Mm-hmm. So they're great for small dogs just as regular treats, but they're also terrific for training because they're just a little bite. You know, they're about 3 calories each, and they're perfect for, you know, if you're going to be teaching your dogs some new tricks, which is a great way, again, to get them some exercise, you know, having them lay down, roll over, you know, that kind of thing. That's really important to be able to just give them a treat every time they do it right and give that reinforcement, you know, give them that love and attention and petting as well. We have Yapple Nano flavored treats, which are Yapple. They're banana and apple flavored. And we have PB Nanas with peanut butter and banana flavoring. So that's really great. And we don't, you know, in those peanut butter versions, you know, we don't use actual peanuts. We use a flavoring, right? So that's also really important, because I know a lot of people have sensitivities to peanuts. And so we really do look at that when we're making those treats so that's, you know, something that people can pay attention to and be able to use and feel comfortable about.
For people who want to learn more about Biljack, where they can get their products, I mean, I'm very fortunate. I have a place right down the street, so our pantry is always full. So where can the listeners go to learn where they can find you and learn more about you, and also your newsletter? I always talk about you. I love your newsletter. I just got my newsletter, actually.
Yeah, we just sent that out. Well, you know, come out to our website. It's biljack.com. It's BIL-JAC.com. And, you know, it's a great place to be able to get information about nutrition. You can sign up for our Best Friends Club newsletter under the For Parents section. We also have a dog blog there. And so there's all kinds of articles. So maybe you're curious curious about something, like maybe you want to look up what we've been talking about today about exercise, you can, you know, just type that into our search bar and find some articles about exercising with your dog. And we also have a store finder. So if you're looking for where to buy it near you locally or where to buy BillJack online, we've got all of that on there for you as well. You just have to, you know, you can enter your address or zip code, wherever you're at, and then we can give you some store information about what's near you as well.
Kim, I want to thank you for being our guest today, and as always, for sharing such helpful advice and very useful information for a happy and healthy 2021 for our pups. So we're off to a good start. Let's go, 2021.
Here's to a healthy 2021. Here's for everyone, including our fur babies. Here's to a healthy 2021
for us all. So thank you so much, Kim, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay, thanks. We'll be back in just a minute.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.